The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Coming up at 2:30, Jay Inslee is scheduled to give a press conference. We will bring some or all of it, depending on how boring it is, I guess, to you live here on Cairo Radio. What we're waiting for is the CDC today said we're relaxing our mask guidelines. If you're vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask indoors or outdoors. Now, of course, I've been saying that for months and months and months. Once they released the vaccine, I said, why in the world would you need to mask up? So why did they wait months to give us just a little taste of freedom? That's about control. It was never about public health. I've said that many, many times. So now what we need to find out is Jay Inslee going to tell every business in Washington that has a mask mandate? If I want to go to the grocery store, I got to wear a mask. Is Jay Inslee going to tell every business to lift the mask mandate in our state? Because I'm sick of masks. I don't ever want to wear a mask again. Actually, if I get any uglier, I'll gladly wear masks in the years to come. But right now, I'm still young. I'm still pretty. You kidding me? I don't need a mask. But we want to find out from Jay Inslee. So we'll carry that press conference live coming at 2:30 this afternoon. I also wanted to share with you a message I got from one of our listeners. And he makes such a great point about the ridiculousness of the rules. Oh, a couple things. Listener Craig tells me the State Department of Health sent out guidelines today to reopen schools in the fall. And the Washington State Department of Health, in a memo sent out, a 9-page memo sent out today, said that kids and school staffers must wear masks indoors and outside to reopen schools. On the exact same day, the CDC says you don't have to wear a mask if you're vaccinated. So our State Department of Health is just making things up as they go along. There's zero consistency. Another example, a listener sent me this. Some high school basketball leagues are playing now. And in the South Puget Sound League, because Pierce County has been rolled back to phase two, all the 3A and 4A teams are playing their games in Puyallup at the fairgrounds. And then the 2A is playing in Centralia in a place called The Hub. Now, they can practice at their school. They're just not allowed to play games at their school. Why is that? What's the public health rationale? There is none. It's all made up. So listen to this. Yesterday, there were two schools from Tacoma, Franklin Pierce and Washington. They played a game. Those two schools are 3.1 miles apart. But the state of Washington, Jay Inslee, the dad of daddy, made them both go down to Centralia. So both schools had to get on a bus and go down I-5 48.6 miles to play their game. They could have gotten to the other school in about 10 minutes. But instead, they're on a bus for an hour, two different schools each, so that they could play a game in Centralia. What sense does that make? What is the public health rationale for making those kids go down there? And the listener who tipped me off on this closed with, this type of insanity should unite all of us, regardless of our feelings about COVID and the best way forward. What the hell are we doing? He asked. And it's a great question because there is no answer. Jay Inslee talks about wanting to save the planet. takes a lot of carbon emissions to get two school buses an hour down the road to Centralia. But ruin the planet. Go ahead. Save us from COVID. None of it makes any sense. One other thing before I get to the local stuff, and that is the crisis at the border. Yeah, I honestly, I don't know what Donald Trump did to make so many people hate him so passionately. I'll trade a few ridiculous texts that he sent out for, you know, $3.50 a gallon gas and runaway inflation, long gas lines, children who are raped on their way to the border. I mean, this is a disaster. The first few months of this presidency is the worst. I said he was the worst since Jimmy Carter. I think he's worse than Jimmy Carter. The first 4 months are indication. The lights aren't on in the Oval Office. So let's go down to the border. We have a DHS secretary now who is testifying before Congress today and just absolutely blatantly flat out lied about the surge at the border.
The surge of unaccompanied children first began in April of last year, of April 2020, and it swelled from there.
So could you explain how the Trump administration anticipated and began making preparations for these this increased arrival?
They did nothing to facilitate addressing the surge.
Okay, that is, every word of it is a lie. Trying to blame it on the previous administration. And the Republicans, to their credit, they were ready. They had a graph from Homeland Security and Border Patrol that showed the number of detentions at the border, and it had gone down dramatically in the last 2 years. And then the day Joe Biden was inaugurated, it was the highest level in at least 6 years that this graph went back. The most problems at the border, but they were ready for that, and they had their graph to prove that our new DHS secretary was
lying. I know you're in a state of denial, but let's go back to my chart here. This is President Biden's inauguration. Here's the surge. There's the surge, and it is undeniable, and yet you are denying it.
What I find astonishing, Mr. Chairman, is that we have the secretary responsible for securing our border and our immigration system who doesn't recognize these charts as being a problem.
Yeah. I mean, these are objective facts. And Joe Biden said, the day I'm inaugurated, I want you to surge the border. He instructed people to do so. And Senator Ron Johnson talked about just how horribly tragic this is.
We had this problem solved until President Biden took office. And there's the picture proof that this is his crisis. My next point. Both President Biden and Vice President Harris knew full well, the inhumanity, the human depredations that their policies would cause. Vice President Harris was on my committee. She was there when we heard testimony of children being sold, one for $84, of the fact that little girls are given birth control because such a high percentage of them will be raped. They heard stories of the kidnappings, of the beatings, of the ransoms, of the sexual servitude, of the involuntary servitude. We had a picture of a two-year-old face down drowned in the Rio Grande. As Mark Morgan said, they were warned about this. They knew their policies would create this human depredation, this inhumanity. And yet they blew up the successful policies of the Trump administration. You have to ask why.
So we have a horrible crisis at the border that is, you know, has led to little girls being sexually abused. You have a nation that projects tremendous weakness because the lights aren't on in Joe Biden's eyes. And so you have the Middle East on the brink of war. Israel, Palestinians. Just before I went on the air, I heard that Lebanon had fired a missile into Israel, which leads to the possibility of all-out war after years of relative peace in the Middle East. You have, with that weakness, not only do you have the Middle East problems, but you have hackers, ransomware hackers from Russia who think nothing about going after our gas lines, the most important infrastructure you can imagine for people. And people were lined up for blocks and blocks if they could get gas at all. But they know there's not going to be any response from the United States. Inflation, the worst in since 2008. Inflation's up 4.2%, a tax on every single American. The job numbers that came out this week were horrible. 25% of what economists were projecting. I mean, this has been a disastrous start to this presidency. And the only thing he's leaning on is, well, we got the vaccines, now we're going to get the masks off. And the only reason we have vaccines is because of the surge that the Trump put forth with the pharmaceutical companies to get the vaccines out here. When everybody said it was impossible, when everybody in the media, every so-called scientist, they all said, there's no way we're going to get a vaccine by the end of the year, last year, and we did. These are pretty desperate times. And my heart especially breaks for these children at the border. Jenny Durkin, Pramila Jayapal, they went down to the border during the Trump years and cried their phony tears, acted like they cared about the children. They're just absolutely silent now. Silent. They couldn't care less, even though we have a record number of children in cages at the border. It's all theater. It's all theater. All right. Let me get into the big lead.
The big lead. Dory Monson show exclusive.
Oh, actually, I already did my exclusive in my opening comments. I just realized. We also have gas stations gouging on the East Coast where they've had the pipeline shut down by the hackers, the cyber hackers.
Lether Kearney.
It was a lot of people and no one looked at the price.
Took a hit to the wallet.
I had a half a tank of gas. So when it got to $25, I started looking to see what was going on. And after I got to $30, I was like, oh my God.
When she unassumingly pulled up to a Richmond BP gas station on Williamsburg Road Tuesday.
I spent $35.45 to fill up my tank. 6 gallons of gas for $35, that's absolutely ridiculous.
She says it's double what she typically spent.
Usually it's under $3. This BP service station has always been the cheapest. And I didn't even look at the price before I started pumping.
Cha-Cha lives just blocks away from the station and says she...
I love that this person gave their name to the news as Cha-Cha.
Watched as the price climbed higher and higher.
So then I drove up the road to get gas at a $2.99 gas station, which is a mile away. Came back through here. It's $5.99.
Even in the span of our 15-minute interview.
And now it's $6.59.
And within a few minutes, that $6.59 was up to $6.99.
You can't do that to people.
6 gallons of gas, $35. I can't. I'm going to have to sleep on this one.
Who'd you vote for? But during that one interview, the gas station had one of the digital readouts of the gas price and went from $5.99 to $6 and something, and then $6.99, all in the course of about a 4-minute interview that they did with Cha-Cha. I feel like Dennis Miller talking about Cha-Cha. Our new transportation secretary has absolutely zero knowledge about transportation. It's Pete Buttigieg.
I do think it reminds us that we need to make sure that we have the most resilient and flexible infrastructure for the future, especially when it comes to something like energy. We've now had, you could argue, two major wake-up call experiences, one in Texas and now one here, each with a different cause, but both reminding us about the work that we have to do as a country.
just it's a lot of words saying absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. All right, and again, our top story, the CDC today says you don't have to wear masks indoors or outdoors. We just got that word in the hour before we went on the air.
We know that in the rare event that people get infected after a vaccine, the resulting infection is more likely to have a lower viral load, be shorter in duration, and likely less risky of transmission to others.
Hey, a listener asked me a good question. How come the CDC director is always in that echoey, sounds like she's away, way away from the mic? As important as this has been, why does she always sound like I sound when I talk on the phone in the bathroom? But she said, anyway, no masks required if you're vaccinated.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
So the big question, will the state of Washington go along with that effective immediately? We should. Jay Inslee should tell every single business in the state to take down those signs that say mask required. The grocery stores, the banks, the pharmacies, every business you go to, mask required. I'm vaccinated. I don't need a mask indoors or out. So we'll see if Jay Inslee in just a few minutes. He's got a press conference scheduled for 2:30, and we'll find out. And Nicole, he scheduled this press conference before the CDC announcement came out. So was that the reason for the press conference? Do we even know?
Well, I know that the CDC announcement had leaked yesterday, so we kind of knew that was coming. So I don't know. I don't know if he did it knowing that there would be the need to react to the CDC's announcement, or I'm not sure, but we've heard there's some big news coming, so I think it'll be worth a listen.
Okay, yes, that's why we're carrying it live. We've skipped a lot of the governor's press conferences, but this is one. All I want to know, I said it at the beginning of the show, and I'll say it again, Governor Inslee, will I be able to declare... to be free. I'm yearning for freedom. I crave it. I don't want to be under the thumb of Jay Inslee anymore. We'll bring you the governor's press conference in just a few minutes. And then we'll continue as soon as he's done with the Dory Monson show. Don't go anywhere. So many times before Messiah's pointed to the door. I swear to you, I have no idea how any of this is legal. You know, the Mariners, as Aaron was just talking about, Mariners are going to have a vaccination-only section, and they have big prizes, but you got to show your vaccination card. How can the Seattle Mariners demand... I guess their rap would be, well, we're making it voluntary. If you want to sit in that section, you have to show us your vaccination card. But all of this sounds like a gigantic HIPAA violation to me. All these private companies, oh, we'll give you huge prizes if you get vaccinated. We'll put you in a lottery if you get vaccinated. So then we all have to carry around our vaccination cards. And by the way, vaccination cards, they're just slightly too big to fit in a wallet or a money clip like I carry. Why don't they make them the size of a credit card? No, we're going to make them slightly too large so they'll be really inconvenient for anybody to carry around. It's all ridiculous. But seriously, I don't want to give my medical information to the Seattle Mariners. I'm not going to show a document to prove that I got what everybody's telling me I should get. This just sounds horribly illegal to me. Okay, we're just told that Jay Inslee's press conference is scheduled to begin at 2:35, which is right now, so we'll see if he gets going on time. I mentioned a couple from a listener's tip. The Seattle police last week rescinded invitations to the cops to an event hosted by Franklin Graham night before last. It was an appreciation thank you dinner, all expenses paid by Franklin Graham's organization, the Billy Graham Ministries. And Lorena Gonzalez, the cop-hating Seattle City Councilwoman, she went crazy. And she said, no, that'll offend if you go to a Christian dinner. That'll offend our LGBTQ community. And so then our weak police chief, who I had high hopes for, Adrian Diaz, he rescinds the invitation at the insistence of Lorena Gonzalez. Why he didn't stay strong with it, I have absolutely no idea. But we've got the story up on MyNorthwest.com because the Seattle police on their Facebook page today, they sent warm wishes for the Muslim feast holiday of today, Eid al-Fitr. And what I ask is, do they have any idea what the Muslim religion's attitude towards homosexuality is? They aren't afraid of offending the LGBTQ community by celebrating a Muslim holiday on their Facebook page, but they say that the gay community will be offended if they send out invitations to a dinner hosted by a Christian organization. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And then, as we wait for the mayor, there's one other story that our friend Jason Rance, who you can listen to on 770 KTTH every afternoon, Jason got a training document that Edmund Schools has pushed out telling teachers and others what pronouns to use because it might be offensive to use her and him, his and hers. And so in this document, they have a list of the new pronouns that they can use in the Edmund School, including who, spelled H-U, not W-H-O, who, Faye, F-A-E, is a pronoun. The letter E is a pronoun. I is a pronoun. E-Y. Can you imagine how confused kids in Edmonds are? I'm telling you, if your kid's in the Edmonds School District, rescue them. Get them out before this insanity infects their minds. They said that instead of himself, herself, you should say herself. But don't spell it H-E-R, because that would be gender specific. You spell her H-I-R, and that's acceptable. Herself is horribly offensive, but herself is perfectly acceptable. Just put an I where the E is. I'm trying to get inside the brains of the people who say, make up this stuff. And it is. It's all just made. These are all made up words. Little fantasies that they're spinning. Let's see. Instead of saying him or there's another one you can substitute for him or herself. M-self. But it's not the letter M. It's E-M-self. You can also say E-self. And that is the letter E. Also, you can say humself. Oh, man. This is real. This isn't made up. Jason got the document. Instead of himself or herself, you could also say humself. I wonder if I could just hum. Himself, H-U-M-S-E-L-F, You can also say Husself, H-U-S-S-E-L-F. And then finally, as I mentioned, Fay or Fair. But you have to spell them F-A-E and F-A-E-R. If you want to see all of this, Jason has a story up at MyNorthwest.com. And he says, you know, he said in his story, gender exists. It's not controversial to acknowledge it. But our schools are moving in a direction where they're pretending that it's offensive. And it's not. It's real. It exists. So, again, what are we doing to our kids when we're polluting their brains with just nonsense, made-up words? As always, I told you, oh, by the way, Jay Inslee was said 235. Now we're told 240, and it is 240, so the governor's supposed to begin any minute. Makes you wonder what last-minute changes are they making. That he had to delay this for 10 minutes. Because it is my belief that they should open up everything in the state immediately. Jay Inslee today should dictate that every single business that has a mask required sign on the front door should open up. Take that sign down. I'm sick of the mask. It's not healthy. It's not good. Those poor kids who are wearing masks while they're trying to play basketball. And the kids' masks are filthy. You think they're getting washed on a regular basis? Maybe in some homes, but in a lot of homes, they're not. So my hope is that Jay Inslee will immediately open up every business in the state immediately. But again, I doubt if he's going to do that. I said a couple hours ago, the governor of Pennsylvania said he will only open up all businesses when they hit a 70% vaccination rate in the state. So again, why, if a lot of your people have been vaccinated, why would you punish them and make them continue to wear a mask when the CDC says they don't have to, and when their own common sense says they don't have to? None of this makes any sense. But we'll see. We'll see what Jay Inslee says as he begins any minute now. The other question, because I don't think Jay Inslee wants to relinquish the control he has over all of us. I've told you, none of this is about public health. They're flying by their seat of the pants with everything they do. It's all just made up on the fly. And I think that Jay Inslee, no matter what his intentions were at the beginning of the coronavirus, I think Jay Inslee is really getting off on the power that he has. I think he gets a kick out of seeing people walking down the street masked, driving alone in their car with a mask on. I think it's going to be tough for him to relinquish the control over all of us. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that he will gladly say that we're not going to mandate that you walk around with a vaccination card that you show off to everybody. All right, the governor has just come up to the microphone. Let's take you to really Olympia Live.
Washington State today. Our state will be able to lift the vast majority of restrictions on our business activity on June 30th this year. So on June 30th, a huge number of our restrictions will be removed, the ones that people are familiar with in restaurants and gyms and the like. We are very pleased to be able to announce this. We have more work to do, but this should give us a good path forward in reopening our state. And there's a chance that we could reopen our state sooner if we can get 70% of our eligible population over 16 to initiate their vaccinations by then. We know we'd have a long ways to go to get enough people vaccinated to save our state. But this is a huge step forward. It is a new chapter in our fight against COVID. It is a recognition that we are moving to strategy based on vaccination as opposed to restrictions in our personal behavior. We have a vaccine that's safe, that works, that is absolutely free, and we are now moving to full focus on that so that we can save lives in our state. The reason we're able to move to this next chapter in the fight against COVID is that we have started to see a plateauing and declining of actual cases. I'll show on the screen the epi curve. You'll see to the right of the curve, it's coming down. And we're very pleased in the last couple weeks to see this progress and reduction of the disease proclivity. So our case rates and our hospitalization rates are both coming down. COVID death rates are also some of the lowest that we have experienced. And is that the death rates you have up there now? You're looking at the chart that shows the hospitalization rates have come down fairly significantly as well. Thank you. And importantly, there is universal access to the vaccine now. This is life-saving. It's free. What's not to like? And now we're moving to the full-throated dedication to protecting our citizens using that mechanism rather than restricting long-term our freedom of economic performance and other things we enjoy in life. Almost 2 weeks ago, we paused our Healthy Washington reopening plan to allow further review of the changes that were occurring in COVID activity. And the pause was consistent with our strategy that has been successful to date of always being willing to review and being very adept and quick in the response against this wily beast. We've pivoted where it was appropriate, where it made sense. And today we believe that this decision makes sense imminently based on the evidence before us. What we know now gives us confidence that this next chapter will be successful in our state. So here's where we are going forward in the immediate future. On Tuesday next week, every county will have the opportunity to be in phase 3 of Healthy Washington, including those that are currently in phase 2. So we will have a consistent statewide pattern based on state restrictions. This does not change local decision-making. However, if local health decisions believe that lower phases were appropriate, they have continued power to make those decisions. So the basic bottom line of this is that our state, most of our businesses will stay at 50% capacity for most indoor activities. But on June 30th, that will be lifted to go back to 100%, full reopening on June 30th. That would mean on June 30th, we would have full capacity for our restaurants, for our movie theaters, our bowling alleys, you name it. This full reopening can happen earlier, as I said, if we obtain 70% of Washingtonians who are over the age of 16 who have at least initiated their first dose of the vaccine before them. So, put simply, if 70% of those over 16 get one dose, we'll be in business, we'll be able to open before June 30. We hope that that could happen. The status today is that more than 57% of eligible Washingtonians have received their first dose, and more than 43% are now fully vaccinated. And we have to continue this effort to save more lives. Now, we have some disparate county performance as far as vaccinations. I'll put up a graph here if we have it to show we have significant deviation in vaccination rates from county to county. We have a lot of progress we can make in many, many places. I'll show you a bar graph that shows where the counties are in their percentages. And you'll see that it varies quite significantly. Every Washingtonian in every county is a life we care about. And every Washingtonian we help will avail themselves of this free, safe vaccine across the state of Washington. If we do that, we'll be able to open sooner. But more importantly, we will save thousands of lives in our state. Trends suggest it won't be until late June when we reach our desired vaccination rate, which is why we've set June 30th for our reopening. But I hope people will see this as an opportunity to move faster. And certainly that is a possibility. We recently administered our 6 millionth dose of the COVID vaccine, and doses administered are about 46,000 a day on average. But we can do a lot more than that right now because we've got supplies to do a lot more than that right now. And if we can only motivate more people to take advantage of the personal benefits of this vaccine, which is saving your life and saving those around you's lives, we can do much better. So there's a lot of good reasons to get this vaccine, and there are no bad reasons in getting this life-saving treatment. Now, we do have some things, obviously, we have to be aware of. This does not mean that our state of emergency will end on June 30th, because this remains an extraordinary emergency that is created by the pandemic. The virus is not done with us, but we have a new chapter in a vaccine that we should fully implement. There is one metric that could change this, and that is our ICU, our intensive care unit capacity. We obviously can't allow our hospitals to be overrun. So if our statewide ICU capacity reached 90% at any time, we, of course, would need to roll back some of our activities. But if we remain on this course of getting vaccines, we don't believe that's going to happen if we'll all step up to the plate. I should say, too, that counties with lower vaccination rates, you know, we're going to have to look at the infection rates real carefully there. And local health districts will still have the ability to respond to local outbreaks should they occur. And those local public health districts will be able to act accordingly. Now, we know the CDC, the president, has announced new masking guidance for fully vaccinated individuals. And we are adopting those recommendations today in the state of Washington. Now, I do want to stress these recommendations, as celebratory as they are, they refer to people who are fully vaccinated. That means people who are 2 weeks after their second dose, who had the Pfizer and Moderna shot, and 2 days after the one shot, or 2 weeks after the one shot, a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So we're going to update our guidance documents, working with the Department of Health and Labor and Industries, to reflect this as soon as possible. Businesses, I should note that this change, businesses will retain the right to require customers to wear masks. So an individual business legally will be allowed to require their customers and their employees to wear masks. But there will not be a requirement if you are fully vaccinated from the state of Washington. And this is a heck of a benefit. Look at people who have been annoyed by this mask as a really good reason to get vaccinated. This is a ticket to freedom. That shot is a ticket to freedom for masks, and we hope people will avail themselves to it. By the way, obviously this guidance, this change in masking requirements will not pertain to hospitals, long-term care, doctor's offices, correctional facilities, homeless shelters, or schools. And the federal order requiring masks on public transportation will remain in effect. Now we have some really good news. Children as young as 12 are now eligible for the Pfizer vaccine, and the Department of Health is allocating vaccines to ensure that providers have a sufficient supply. We are encouraging school districts to partner with local providers for on-campus clinics. Those are already happening, or clinics at other easily accessible locations. We know that vaccines are fundamental to this next chapter of this journey, so we don't have to rely on social distancing and restrictions. We are confident this can work, but we need everyone to pull on the rope here. We don't want to see this pandemic coming back, which it could, particularly with these new variants. This does not change our responsibilities. It just increases our possibilities. And we all have the power to influence this. This is a different pandemic strategy, but we need the same level of commitment, the same level of energy that has been put us in one of the best positions of any of the states in the United States. We've used that energy and diligence before, and we want to use it again. I just, there's a young man, a 12-year-old, just sent me a note. I wanted to read it to you, if I can. This is a 12-year-old Brody Inslee, our first grandchild. He just got his vaccination this afternoon. I'll post a picture of him. Here's what he had to say. This is his own language. If you get vaccinated now, then you can hang out with your friends. And even if kids have a lower rate of getting COVID, they still can get it and pass it on. No one was stopping me, and no one is stopping you except yourself. I think that's pretty eloquent, and I'm kind of proud of that young man. He's a good leader. Now, when it comes to schools, we expect all of our school districts will open full-time in-person learning in the fall, with remote learning option for students who wish to remain in a remote setting. The Department of Health has posted new fall guidance for school districts, which update health and safety requirements. And they also add flexibility for some of our previous social distancing requirements. And there is nothing in this guidance that would prohibit in any meaningful way the ability to have full-time on-campus learning. We know it's possible to have distancing requirement could be removed altogether in the fall if we have a sufficient percentage of students who are vaccinated. We're also going to ramp up COVID testing at schools in the fall with funding that is available to schools for testing and health screening. This will be especially important for districts in areas with low vaccination rates and while younger students aren't yet eligible for the vaccine. Now, an additional strategy we are pursuing are incentives. Now, there's a lot of really good incentives for getting this vaccine. One, you might not die. Two, someone you love might not die. Three, someone you love may not end up in the hospital. Four, you now can go out without a mask. But we are looking for even more incentives. So as other states have done, we're looking for ways to expand people's incentives to pursue this safe, effective, life-saving vaccine. Effective immediately, we will be allowing additional activities with fewer restrictions, as we've talked about, and increasing capacity for groups of fully vaccinated people. Spectator events such as indoor and outdoor sports will no longer have limits on the number of vaccinated individuals. Small cruise ships with less than 250 passengers can sail if a crew of 95% of the passengers are vaccinated. Conferences and live performances, weddings and funeral receptions can be at full capacity if the attendees are fully vaccinated. Our Commerce Department is also partnering with the Association of Washington Businesses to help local chambers of commerce to provide free gift cards to vaccinated individuals that can be used at small local businesses. So we're incentivizing people to get a vaccine, and we're also helping our Main Street businesses. It's another example of how vaccines and economic recovery actually work together. We're also working with the Seattle Mariners, and starting at the home game tonight, prizes will be giving away to vaccinated individuals at the games from partners like T-Mobile, Alaska Airlines, Microsoft, Costco, Nordstrom's, and more. I saw the Seattle Rainiers doing good work in this regard as well in their opening game. The Liquor and Cannabis Board is also working on a request from wineries and breweries to allow them to buy a glass or a pint for vaccinated customers. And more ideas are in the works as well for our incentive programs. We also have good news for small businesses. Earlier this week, the Department of Commerce released another $234 million in Working Washington grants to nearly 12,000 small businesses. And you can find these grant recipients in every county in our state. More than half of these businesses have already received grants before the ones we just announced.
You're listening to Governor Inslee Live. This is KIRO FM, Tacoma, Seattle. I'm going to have a lot to say about this tomorrow. Can't believe they're not opening up the state immediately. I think he wants people to get vaccines. He's mentioned that once or twice. Tom Curley coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow, high noon. Back to the governor in Olympia we go.
Coming with additional funding for grants in the budget just approved by the legislature. So with that, happy to stand for your questions. Dr. Shaw is also available if you have questions. And also Lacey Fehrenbach of our Department of Health and Nick Struli is on the line if you have any questions. So you may fire when ready, Gridley.
Up first, we'll go to Lisa Bauman with AP. Go ahead, Lisa.
Josie, excuse me just one moment. Gavin, can you hand me the graph on the counties? I don't have a copy here in case I get a question on this. I could use copies for the governor here. Why don't you scan them all to me and I'll find it. Thank you.
That we will go to Lisa Bauman with AP. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Governor. A lot of news here today. I want to touch on the mask CDC guidelines that came out today, and you said that Washington State will be adopting those as of today. And can you talk a little bit about the difference? So this is for fully vaccinated people, not people who have only one dose of the vaccine. Is that correct?
That is correct. So what we're announcing today is that fully vaccinated people will be freed from state restrictions, outdoors and indoors, that have previously been put in place, except in the environments that I talked about, hospitals, schools, and the like, and public transportation, I might add. That was an additional part of the CDC. So, yes, it does apply to fully vaccinated individuals.
Next, we'll go to Joe Sullivan with the Seattle Times. Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to follow up on that for clarity. Are you saying that starting immediately, then businesses like restaurants and stores don't need to have people masked up if they're fully vaccinated, but they can still do it voluntarily if they like? And then my second question is, do you have concerns that there's been concerns that allowing people to not wear masks would send the wrong message on some of the guidelines as the state still tries to get people vaccinated? Are you concerned about that?
Well, I actually think it's the reverse. Our hope, and there's a reason for this, is it will increase people's interest in fighting COVID because it will give people an additional incentive to get vaccinated. We know that the single most powerful tool, the big gun in our arsenal, is the vaccine. And anything that makes it more likely that people will get it is really bringing the big gun to the battle. And we're doing that because now you'll have an additional incentive of being able to go to restaurants and grocery stores and everywhere else without wearing a mask. And that will increase people's incentive to become vaccinated, which is the ultimate way out of this. This is our ticket to the ultimate relief from the pandemic. So we think it will actually increase compliance, if you will, of people getting involved in this mission statement. That is what we're dedicating ourselves to. I think it's the rationale for the president, as I understand his thinking. Your statement about the grocery stores is correct. The state will not have a restriction. If you are fully vaccinated, we are not going to have a restriction on your ability to go into a grocery store without wearing a mask. But the individual grocery store business owner maintains the right to have their own decision making who their customers are. So if they want to maintain a mask requirement for their customers, this would not strip them of that right as a business owner.
All right. Up next, we'll go to Laurel Demkevich with the Spokesman Review. Go ahead, Laurel.
Hi, Governor. I have two questions. The first, on that mask mandate, how are you suggesting to businesses or other places to check for who's vaccinated and who's non-vaccinated? Should we be carrying around our cards, pictures? What's the guidance there? And then secondly, probably for someone at DOH, I'm wondering if someone can explain a little bit about the risks that probably still exist with vaccinated people being around potentially unvaccinated people who aren't wearing masks, because they now might have freedom to not do that as well.
Well, in answer to your second question, this does not prohibit anyone from wearing a mask. If you are vaccinated and you want to further protection, you're entitled to wear a mask anywhere you'd like to for any time. So this does not prevent people. If they would like to add to their level of protection, they are free to wear masks. We are certainly not reducing that. Now, the reason we're making this decision, however, though, is these vaccines are extremely effective. They're one of the most effective medicines we've ever invented. They have, you know, as much as 95% effectiveness. That is an incredible scientific achievement. So we think people are tremendously protected by these vaccines once you're fully vaccinated. And that's the legitimate, scientifically sound reason we're making this decision. Your issue about checking, we have not imposed a checking requirement on businesses at the moment. That's not part of our plan. Now, could that change? It's possible. We just got this news from the federal government a few hours ago. But at the moment, we're not imposing some confirmation status by businesses. But again, they are legally entitled to do so. So if a grocery store or a restaurant wants to check people's status, they have the legal right to do so. I think you're going to find some businesses want to do that because more of their patrons want to be in a mask facility. So this will not end the masks, but it will end the state telling you to be masked if, in fact, you're vaccinated. And that is a rational, reasonable approach. We hope it leads to more people getting vaccinated, which is the ultimate goal here.
Lacey, did you have something you wanted to add there?
I can quickly add, for businesses that want a way to check, there are multiple ways to show proof of vaccination. That includes the card you received when you got your vaccine, indicating your two doses. You can download your vaccine record from myir.net. And there is a click for Washington State, and they'll pull down your record for you. You can also, many people have access through their electronic health record, the patient-facing portal. And always a great idea, if you have your card, to take a photo of it so you have that stored on your phone securely as a backup.
And Governor, this is Umair Shah. I just wanted to jump in. And first of all, thank you for allowing DOH to be a part of this. You know, the science behind what the CDC said today, I think, is also important. What they're essentially saying is that vaccines are effective. And it's not just the theoretical effectiveness of vaccines. Now it's pragmatic real world experience that are showing that vaccines work. They protect the individual who has been vaccinated. They certainly are also protective against variants at this time. And certainly we're continuing to monitor that. And then it's also important that what the CDC has said is that the vaccines also protect individuals from spreading virus, potentially asymptomatic or otherwise, to spread virus to someone else. In other words, that if you are vaccinated, you are both protecting yourself, but you are also not going to spread virus to someone else. And that's why it's so critical that what the CDC released today was that really, if you have received your vaccine, and I think it goes along with the governor, what he said earlier, is that you are protected. And so the physical distancing and the masking requirements that were previously in place are now being alleviated because we know that vaccines work. And so the bottom line message here is to our Washingtonian residents is please get vaccinated. It protects you, it protects your family, your loved ones, and ultimately it's protecting the people around you. So we want to do everything we can to encourage and incentivize and just make the vaccine choice the right choice, the easy choice, and the choice that people make, because ultimately that's how we end this pandemic.
I do want to, is that people, unfortunately, are exposed to so many conspiracy theories and crazy thoughts. And if you read on the internet that you'll grow a tail if you take this vaccine, call your physician, call a nurse, ask them. I just hope people will do that. I've been very pleased. The Washington State Medical Association and others, are the physicians and nurses and dentists, are stepping up to the plate. They are sharing valid scientific information with their patients. That's ultimately what's most important here. I hope people, if they have any questions, just call a physician and talk to them about it and get their advice. They're the most credible figures in this regard.